Kent Online News.
News you can trust.
This is the Kent Online Podcast. Kate Faulkner.
Hello, hope you're okay. Thank you for downloading today's podcast on Wednesday, October 8th. Coming up today, a Medway councillor on his defection from the Tories to Reform, the band taking on the role of Gareth Southgate in a play in Canterbury, and defeat for Gillingham in the EFL Trophy. But first, taking a look at our top story today, an Ashford man who left his wife with a number of injuries, including a broken wrist, has avoided being sent to prison. Lucy has some more details for the podcast. She's with me now. Lucy, this all came to light after his wife, Suzanne, came forward to report the abuse. What does she say about their relationship?
Well, Suzanne Simmons told a court that over 4.5 years, she suffered a campaign of physical and psychological abuse from Terry Andrews. She said that what started as a very loving relationship quickly turned suffocating and terrifying, and that she was constantly monitored, isolated, and attacked inside her own home. The abuse first began during an argument, which Suzanne says was over nothing, when Andrews shoved her violently against a wall and later convinced her his actions were a result of her wrongdoing.
And during the court proceedings, Suzanne also shared some details of the injury she'd suffered.
Yes, that's right. In one attack in April 2019, Andrews pushed her to the ground, causing what doctors described as a catastrophic fracture to her wrist. It's believed to be an injury more commonly seen in car crash victims. Suzanne has had to have 2 surgeries and still struggles with daily tasks. Another attack in November 2022 saw Andrews push her with such force against a banister that 3 wooden splinters snapped, and then he shoved her into a wall, leaving her with a large bump on her head.
And despite all this heard in court, Andrews has avoided a prison sentence.
Yes, Andrews, who's 37 and from Beaver Lane, received a 2-year prison term suspended for 2 years. He's also been ordered to complete 200 hours of unpaid work, 26 sessions of the Building Better Choices programme, and 10 days of rehab. He must also pay more than £1,600 in costs. Speaking after the sentencing, Suzanne said she was devastated by the outcome and feels like she hasn't been heard.
Thanks, Luce. You can read the full report by clicking on the story of the homepage of Kent Online.
Kent Online News.
A driver accused of killing a 4-year-old boy in a crash in Southfleet has pleaded guilty to manslaughter. Peter Maughan died following a collision on New Barn Road in June while his dad was severely injured. At a hearing earlier, Owen Maughan, who's 27 and from Hill Rise in Darenth, denied the more serious charge of murder and is going to go on trial next year. An investigation is underway after an emergency vehicle was involved in a crash in Gillingham. The joint response unit car was on its way to an urgent call when the collision happened on Pier Road yesterday evening. The other car crashed into a sign. No one was hurt. A man suspected of using a drone to fly drugs into Maidstone Prison has been arrested. Police were told a device had been found within the grounds of the jail in January alongside a package of cannabis. Following forensic tests, a 27-year-old was detained in East London last Thursday. Here's the moment officers caught up with him.
Just drop it.
Right, you're under arrest. For conveying prohibited articles into a prison. You do not have to say anything. May harm your defence. If you don't mention when questioned, something which you later rely on in court, anything you do say may be given the evidence, all right?
What are you talking about? 50 wraps, I'd say. Little tiny ones.
The man was returned to prison for breaching terms of his licence. A Gillingham man who stalked and harassed religious leaders at his place of worship has been sent to prison. It's after a fellow churchgoer complained about unwanted attention from Ebenola Abdul. He became threatening after being asked to leave her alone. The 26-year-old from Featherby Road was sentenced to 40 weeks and is the subject of a restraining order.
Kent Online News.
A former Conservative advisor has been telling the Kent Online podcast why he's left the party and joined Reform UK. Robbie Lammas says he was feeling left behind by the Tories and thinks Nigel Farage has the confidence of people on the doorstep. The Medway councillor represents Princes Park Ward.
I've defected because essentially I feel like the Conservative Party left me behind. Their decision to sort of say nothing for the year left the door open, and in stepped Farage, and he's actually now commanding the confidence and the trust of people on the doorsteps.
And I suppose I need to ask, what... Because you used to be quite a figure with behind the scenes within Conservative politics. This must be quite a surprise to some of your former colleagues. Why not then? Why now?
Yeah, I feel immensely sorry for lots of my former colleagues. Some people are very upset. Some people understand. And I've actually been pleasantly surprised how many people have reached out to me even just this morning to say how, oh my goodness, how can I join you? It's been quite surprising. In terms of my former colleagues, I always argued a very different approach. And it seems to be the approach that Nigel Farage has taken. So I feel vindicated.
How much is it to do with the national picture and the local picture? Because obviously you are a Kent councillor, you serve here in Medway. Did your former political group have anything to do with it?
I'm quite lucky in the sense that my former political group and Medway Council were quite good operators. So it wasn't down to them locally per se. It was more of the case of the national picture. People on the doorsteps here in Princes Park are saying to me very clearly, we want Nigel Farage, we trust him because he's been very consistent.
And I suppose my question would be, because you did serve under Rishi Sunak, you served as special advisor, you helped campaign to get Boris Johnson elected as well. Did you think that they had the right approach? Is it literally just the last year? Were you a dissenting voice during that period of government?
They had a completely wrong approach, and I said so very vocally at the time, and I was laughed at.
Really? Because why not leave then? Why stick around? I suppose my question is, you thought that they weren't fit for government, you didn't think their approach was right. Why even stay with the party at all? Why help fight and campaign for something that you didn't believe in?
It takes time to figure out what you want to do. The thing about conservatism is that it doesn't just belong to one party. Conservatism is very broad. And in fact, what Farage is doing is almost restoring proper conservatism to its more 17th and 18th century roots, where they actually care about community. It's very different to Cameron and Rishi's interpretation. So the philosophy is still there, but Farage is the new vehicle.
Do you think people here in Medway actually really care about philosophy?
No, of course not. They care about making sure their flags can start flying, that their bins get collected, that their streets are cleaned. Normal things on the doorstep matter the most. Absolutely.
So why this big fight for the soul of conservatism? Surely it's about delivering for ordinary people. Why do you think Reform will do any better than the Conservative Party on that front?
It's about trust, it's about policy, and crucially, it's about leadership. Okay. One thing I've been struck by already is just the difference in culture between the Reform Party and the Conservative Party, and that extends all the way to its candidates on a national and local level. I really do feel like they're up for fundamental change, and that's the change that people are calling for.
He joined four councillors from Gravesham who also defected yesterday, along with 15 others around the country. Emergency barrier repairs are being carried out on the M20 following a crash yesterday evening. A lorry collided with a bridge support and hit the central reservation on the London-bound stretch near Junction 9 for Ashford. No one was hurt. You can see pictures of the damage at Kent Online. Staff at the investment agency Locate in Kent have been told there might not be enough money for redundancy payments after it went into liquidation. The organisation, which was set up to champion businesses and tourism in the county, went under last month after 25 years. It's understood employees will have to claim money they're owed through a government scheme.
Kent Online News.
Work's now underway to demolish Tides Leisure Centre in Deal. The old site will be replaced with a new £20 million facility with a 6-lane swimming pool, gym and toddler splash pad. It's expected to be finished in 2027. New restrictions are going to be brought in for homes in multiple occupation in Sittingbourne and Sheppey. There are currently 44 registered across Swale, and councillors are concerned about the impact they can have on the community. At the moment, you only need planning permission if the property is going to be used by 5 or more people. Bosses have decided to extend that to all homes developers want to convert. Excavation work is underway at a site in Kent where a doodle bug crashed during the Second World War. The German flying bomb was shot down on its way to London in 1944 and landed harmlessly in woodland near Benenden. The crater's been largely undisturbed since, but now archaeologists have teamed up with local authorities, volunteers and Benenden School to recover fragments of the aircraft. A family-run furniture company is investing more than £1 million into one of its Kent stores. Luke Hurst, who've been in business since 1970, will revamp displays and add new stock to the flagship branch in Sittingbourne. The store will remain open while the work is carried out over the next 12 months.
Kent Online News.
An Indian takeaway in Ashford has been given a one-star food hygiene rating after inspectors found prawns defrosting on the windowsill. A total of 10 infringements were reported at Tandoori Knight's Taj Mahal in Torrington Road. Their food safety management diary had not been properly filled out since September last year. Bosses have been contacted for a comment. People living in a retirement housing block in Dartford say they've been unable to get on with their lives because of an infestation of bedbugs. Some residents of Warren Court have been forced to move flats and throw away furniture. Dartford Council is responsible for the building and says it was made aware of issues in July. Bosses have told us work is ongoing with a specialist pest control contractor. The organiser of Diwali celebrations in Aylsham say they will go ahead despite toxic messages he's received online. Since advertising the event in Central Boulevard on October 25th, Kunal Patel says he's been targeted by people who say there's no place for the festivities in the UK. He's confident the majority of the community are behind the festival and says the fireworks will go ahead as planned. A charity football match has been set up for a young boy from Canterbury who's been diagnosed with one of the world's rarest terminal brain disorders. Four-year-old Bertie Grant Roberts has BPAN, a condition caused by a mutated gene which affects fewer than 500 children globally. A GoFundMe has been set up to support his family. The game is at Sturry Football Club on November 1st. Now, the man who takes on the role of Gareth Southgate in a play about the former England football manager has told the Kent Online podcast he can start to understand the pressure he was under. Dear England is based on a letter written to fans during COVID ahead of Euro 2020, which was moved to the following year. David Stazucka has been speaking to Nicola.
For me, I find it really useful and important to make the distinction between Gareth Southgate, the real Gareth Southgate, and Gareth Southgate as a character in the play Dear England. And for me, that the reason that makes a difference is because, you know, as an actor, whenever I approach a script or approach a play, it's always the script is the first and the last thing that you turn to. So in some respects, I kind of approach it like anything else, you know, like any other play. But of course, with someone like Gareth Southgate, who, as you say, is so in the public eye, and it just gives another layer that there's all these resources that I can turn to, you know, be it interviews or clips of him on the touchline, as you say, or just that he's given, that I can use that and really try to add more layers to what I'm doing.
And give us a bit of a flavour as to what the play is all about, because it's centred around this letter that he wrote to fans, which was around 2020 time, is that right, ahead of the Euros?
It was ahead of the Euros, yeah. So it was ahead of the Euros, Euros 2020, but that actually got postponed to 2021 because of the COVID pandemic. So yeah, that kind of forms like the kind of sort of crux of the play. But the play actually starts in 2016 when he became, well, initially he became temporary England manager, and then obviously he became the permanent manager. And so that's where it starts, and it finishes at the end of his tenure as manager of the England men's football team. Yes, it is obviously, you know, Gareth Southgate and England, and it is about football to a degree. But more than that, football kind of provides the framework for so many other themes that the play then explores, whether that's mental health or national identity, or simply sort of having a goal and trying to achieve it, and the barriers that you come across and how you get through those barriers, coping with disappointment in the public eye, all of those things. So from the starting point of football, it then explores much wide-ranging themes.
And I guess I have to ask, were you a fan of the waistcoat before you took on this role? How iconic is the waistcoat within the show?
yeah, you can really have this play without a waistcoat, could you? But and yeah, it's no spoiler to say that a waistcoat does appear. For me, I've never worn waistcoats before. I think the only time I've ever worn waistcoats is when I've been playing characters that wear waistcoats. So But I didn't even grow to like it. I liked it sort of straight away. I mean, he's a pretty natty dresser, I think. So yeah, I'm quite enjoying wearing the waistcoat.
Tell us a bit about the rest of the cast. Of course, you're playing alongside Samantha Womack, aren't you, on this tour?
Playing opposite Sam. Sam plays Dr. Pippa Grange, who was a psychologist who came on board the England men's team to try to have a sort of positive impact on the culture around the team. So yeah, it's fantastic working with her. And then other cast members, there's a lot of guys playing the players, Rashford and Kane, Saka and Dele Alli, and it's just fantastic, to be honest with you, to be around a group of young guys, for some of whom it's their first professional job or their first theatre job or first tour. And that's just really exciting. I mean, we opened in Plymouth a few weeks ago, and that first show in Plymouth, I think it was maybe five of the company were making their professional theatre debut that night. And that's just, you can't beat that.
It's on at the Marlowe in Canterbury as part of its first UK tour.
Kent Online Sports.
Football Now and Gillingham have suffered a defeat in the EFL Trophy. They put out a young squad and lost 2-1 away at Colchester United. Assistant manager Richard Dobson spoke to reporters after the match.
I thought Colchester showed great respect for the competition tonight in terms of the side that they put out. It's a very different game tonight, as I told the boys before, the game it would be to the last round and the Fulham under 21 side. So we knew it was going to be a quicker pace, a lot more physical, and it was a really good test. We've got young players who are coming in that have been on loan, that have played youth team football, and the pace of that is nothing like this. So this competition is there to help us blood those young players, to bring them up to the speed that they need to get to be ready for League Two football. And also we've got players coming back from injury that need to get themselves up to the speed for our first team games come the weekend. So it was a tough night for them. They've had to suffer a little bit. But when you look at what we're trying to do with this competition and develop players, would you rather roll over a young Colchester side quite comfortably, give yourself a pat on the back, and think that everything's fine? Or do you want them to come in and suffer a little bit against first team ready players who play at a good pace and learn what it takes to play League Two football on a regular basis?
You used the word respect, and they did later in the second half. I mean, they brought a lot of their first teamers to overcome. We've had four or five, I think, six teenagers on the pitch. It just showed the quality they're up against.
Yeah, absolutely. And they're good players, and they're game ready because they're playing regular first team football. So to come up against our youngsters, it was a real test for those young boys. But we can't hide them from that. We have to expose them. They have to understand what it's going to take to play first team football. And, you do it tonight in a competition where there's no real damage, to the club. We obviously want to pick up points in the league, and that's the most important thing. But as we said from the very start, this is a journey, and getting those boys to that point isn't going to happen immediately. We need to do it over time. Joe's done a great job with the youth team. We've got good players that we feel could have good careers in the game. But it's step by step, and they're not at the top step just yet.
Goal scorer Sam Vokes gave us his take on the game.
Obviously very frustrating with the result in the end. But I do genuinely think there's positives to take from it. I think we got ourselves 1-0 up, managed the game well. And look, as these games are sometimes in this cup, we made a lot of changes, which is what I see as a positive, really, because I think the changes we made show the strength of our squad. We finished the game with five academy graduates on the pitch, and that's great for them. Look, in a matchday environment against the proper League Two team themselves, and it felt like a proper game. Sometimes these cup games don't, but it felt like a proper game tonight.
Yeah, as you say, towards the end, we've got a lot of young lads out there. Some aren't even pros yet. It's great experience for them, but it was towards the end, it was a much younger team.
It was. And don't get me wrong, we can't just use this cup for experience. We want to go out and win it. And the main goal today was winning the game. So we are gutted in there after. And obviously, lads have got to pick themselves up now because we've got a huge game on Saturday. Couple of frustrating results in the last couple of weeks, and we've got to get back on that winning roll because we've got a lot in the building that want to be up there, and that's where we want to be fighting. So it's going to be a huge game back at home on Saturday.
Taking a quick look at cricket now, and England have won their second game at the Women's World Cup. They managed to chase down a victory target of 179 with 4 wickets to spare. Dover's Tammy Beaumont was dismissed for 13. That's all from us today. Thanks ever so much for listening. Don't forget, you can follow us on socials. You can also get the details on the top stories direct to your email each morning via the briefing. To sign up, just head to kentonline.co.uk. And while you're on the website, you can sign up to Kent Online Premium. It gives you access to content with fewer ads, no pop-ups, and exclusive stories. You can choose the subscription plan that works best for you. To find out more, head to www.kentonline.co.uk/subscribe.
News you can trust.
This is the Kent Online Podcast.